association and IndieBirth.com. No material on this podcast should be considered medical advice. Birth is not a medical event.
Welcome to IndieBirth's series of podcasts here on iTunes, Taking Back Birth. Hi everyone, Maren here today with a very sensitive and personal topic. Not a podcast I planned, but that's kind of the way sometimes, isn't it, with pregnancy and birth? Things go against what we think the plan is. So the subject is early loss, miscarriage, however you want to say it. Again, not something I planned on my list of podcasts here, being super organized and trying to branch out and talk about all sorts of things in the world of pregnancy and birth. And this topic just hitting really close to home for me this week, and hoping that I can share just from a really personal perspective, hoping I don't lose it in the middle of this podcast, but who knows, I might. Sometimes that's the theme of birth, is just surrendering to what we don't expect to feel, what we don't expect to do, what we don't expect to happen, but it's out of our control, so much of it. Like so many natural processes, pretty perfect most of the time, even in loss. And I'm going to talk more about that. So, like I said, early loss, it's a multi-layered issue. Just like loss or birth or labor, you know, at any point. And it's funny that I would feel safe, maybe, to share in this way, in this forum, where anybody could listen and hear my heart. But I feel like those that listen to this podcast, even though there's actually tons of people that do around the world, I feel like they're women after my own heart. And so in the 2015 way of sharing, I feel supported actually sharing my heart in this way with you, knowing that you're listening in the way that you would sitting with me in a circle of women like we used to long ago. I think women need to hear more stories of loss, of miscarriage, of stillbirth, not because they're happy stories, but because loss is sometimes part of the process. And I know many women feel really alone. And I count myself among those women, or I did last week, although I am blessed with a couple of really close women friends, both near and far. It's still a time of feeling really alone. It's not something we talk about. It's certainly not something that's celebrated the way a birth of a live baby is. And there's just so many emotions and feelings that go into it that it's really hard to talk about. So I hope I can. We'll see. So I've had a couple of early losses in my reproductive history, shall we say. As many of you know, I have 7 wonderful live children. And my first loss was 4 years ago at almost 6 weeks, so pretty early. And most recently, just last week, was about the same gestation, maybe a tiny bit earlier, maybe closer to 5 weeks. And I can tell you from my own personal experience, and if you've experienced this, you may agree, that it's not just a late period. I know to some women it might seem that way, and that's the way a lot of early loss is spoken about. Just like, oh, it's just a late period. It just feels like that. When it's not. And of course, there are women that experience it that way. They may not be aware of their cycle. Maybe they're breastfeeding. There's a million reasons why it could be interpreted that way. But it's not. It's not. It's a loss just like any others. And if you know your body, it's not a late period. So I don't typically take pregnancy tests, and I didn't with the first loss a bunch of years ago, and I didn't with this one. I'm very aware of my body and my cycles, and I didn't do that. I think in my head, part of that for me has been not necessarily wanting to see a positive test in the event that it doesn't stay that way. And it's a very personal choice. I'm not doing anything but sharing what I've done. I guess I'd say that not having taken a test hasn't really made a huge difference. I mean, I guess in some ways, maybe it would have confirmed what I already knew. But I don't necessarily feel a loss from not taking a test. It doesn't make me feel better. It doesn't make me think, oh, maybe I wasn't pregnant. I know that I was. Some statistics on early loss, and, you know, this isn't really what this podcast is about, but just to give you some perspective. According to Anne Fry's Holistic Midwifery, 30% of women that miscarry are not even aware they were pregnant. Honestly, I think it's higher than that, but okay. So they experience what I mentioned before, which is a delayed or heavy period. And then 15% miscarry sometime during the first 2 months. So obviously those women know they were pregnant. And I don't know how they figure these things out, to be honest with you, but 50 to 60% of first trimester losses are attributed to abnormalities of baby or placenta. And I don't know how that makes me feel, again, to be really honest. I don't think it makes me feel better having just had a loss. In my head, maybe, you know, you have this rational part of your brain that says, well, perhaps the baby wasn't healthy and it's a good thing. And right, that may be true, but your heart definitely feels differently. So I know for many women, and even myself, even though I'm telling you I was very confident in being pregnant in the first place, even though I didn't take a pregnancy test, many women, when they miscarry really early, question, was I pregnant? Because it's too early for some signs and symptoms. And again, this isn't really trying to say that early loss is easier or harder than any other type of loss. It's just being more specific because I feel like this time period has its unique characteristics. And like I mentioned, is easier in a way for people to write off. Maybe not the woman herself, but the support that she's getting, or more accurately, not getting when a loss is really early. Again, it's just like, oh, well, maybe you weren't really pregnant. Maybe it's just a heavy period. So women do question that. And if someone isn't so aware of their cycles, like I mentioned, there's sometimes only that suspicion, or maybe that deep knowing that there was something there, even if it was only for a moment or a couple of days. Some early losses will never show positive on a test. So that's something to think about, isn't it? And I've heard women talk about this, at least in my circles, where they know they were pregnant. You know, they know the moment that they conceived. Maybe they know the moment implantation happened. And so they know there was something there. There was a soul there. There was, you know, a, a person beginning to form, and then they do get a period, or, you know, maybe it's just a day late, so to speak. And those women, if they were to test again, might not get a positive, but they have this knowing that there was something and now there's not. And that is a loss, just like any other, even if it makes no sense or doesn't mean anything to anyone else. There are many women that are experiencing this. Again, because the statistic of loss that early is pretty high. And it may be higher. I'm guessing it's higher than the statistics I even mentioned. Again, because women aren't aware or they aren't talking about it. I'm not quite sure how they come up with these things sometimes. So I don't think I even need to say this, but I will because it's part of my processing. So thanks for honoring that through the internet waves. There's so many feelings that go along with a loss of a baby at any point. And with early loss, there's no exception to that. There are feelings of guilt, of blame. You know, what did I do wrong? Did I cause this? Was it something I thought? You know, was it something I ate? My story just recently that I've been, of course, playing again in my head is that I became violently ill just days after knowing that I was pregnant and missing my period. I have never been that sick, honestly. Some kind of food poisoning or gastrointestinal virus, I'm really not sure. But again, violently ill, never been that sick in all my 38 years. And so I can't help but think, and of course I'll never know, did that hurt this pregnancy? You know, my rational brain is one side and it says, oh no, you know, women get sick all the time when they're pregnant and that shouldn't affect a pregnancy. So, you know, you kind of just go round and round with that in your head and think, well, then I guess it wasn't healthy. It wasn't a healthy pregnancy if it couldn't survive the sickness. But, you know, in the middle of being, again, violently ill, literally passed out on a couch, I had a moment where I thought, I don't know if this pregnancy will survive this. I've never felt like this in my life. But speculation, lots of thinking about that and feeling it and feeling sad and angry about the fact that so many things happen in our lives out of our control and doesn't really help to try and link them together. But that's what we do, you know, that's what any human being would do. In any situation of loss or grief would be to question, right? I mean, there's stages of grief and that's just part of it is questioning what could have been different. If you had done this, would this have happened? And blaming yourself, at least for a moment. So I definitely have been through that and am still going through it on a deeper level, perhaps, as time goes on. Feelings of relief. I don't think that's something we talk about. I love being pregnant. I love my children. And this was not an accidental pregnancy. Very aware that that was a possibility. Although I don't think it necessarily matters either way. Feelings of relief with a miscarriage can be something that is strange to talk about. Because how can we be so sad? You know, how can we be so angry about losing a pregnancy and then have moments of being relieved? I don't know. I'm just admitting that I felt that way, and I don't think it's that odd. The night before I miscarried, of course, I had no idea, which was another really upsetting part of my experience for me, was that I just felt so disconnected. But the night before, my kids were being extraordinarily difficult. And I had a flash of, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if this is the right time. And of course, you know, that only plays into your guilt and blame of yourself if you should lose a pregnancy. You know, your brain wants to tell you that somehow you caused it. But I think feelings of relief are normal, and I have reassured myself with that. That perhaps it was even because the pregnancy was not healthy that I was feeling negative, and that's not usual for me. I'm not to say every moment of every pregnancy has been completely blissful, but the night before when I was laying there in bed, the feelings of being hesitant about the pregnancy and fearful were totally unlike me. And I really do wonder if somehow that's intertwined with our bodies knowing when things aren't right. And maybe that's just a way to reassure myself. I don't know. I don't know. You realize you don't know much at times like this. You find your simple truths. So the disconnectedness for me was really a hallmark of this loss. And that was new. And like I said, I guess my rational brain wants to think that perhaps that was part of a pregnancy that wasn't meant to be. Not reading my body correctly was really upsetting to me. Almost as upsetting as not being pregnant anymore. So with my previous early loss a bunch of years ago, I had a dream a couple days before I miscarried that I was bleeding and that that would happen. And so it did. And this time, I really didn't know it was coming. And that's something that I think I'm still working through, that I didn't know in my conscious brain or heart. Although I could certainly rationalize that too, which is what we do at every point of the grieving process, I think. Because I had been so sick, I feel like that clouded my connectedness to my body, to this potential baby. I really was just so out of it. So, you know, especially with a stomach virus, I was feeling nauseous already. I mean, there were things going on that could have been pregnancy, but maybe weren't. So I'd like to think that all of these things are really normal, and I know they are. I've helped many women through losses, both early and later. And so I just remind myself of things like this at my own times to remind myself that all of these feelings are really part of the process. There is no feeling, there is no thought that is abnormal. And those are only a few. So this loss for me, the most recent one, if you can believe it, was to the day 4 years after the last. To the day. How crazy is that? So with each of our experiences, they're just so personal, right? There's no way to really interpret someone else's or explain it. And a lot of the time, we can't even do that with our own. Now, with the last one, I found peace quickly, almost surprisingly quickly. There had been a lot going on in my life. It was when I was battling the state of Arizona for my midwifery license. My life was kind of a mess, or so I thought. And the miscarry at that time really felt right, as weird as that might sound. You know, I was definitely sad, angry, went through lots of similar feelings, but more rapidly and found peace. And this time I've really had a longer process. Finding grace in the timing is something that I strive to do in any area of my life. You know, whether something appears as positive or negative to me, there is timing with a capital T, and it's not something that I feel like I am in control of. So finding the grace in this timing has been tough. I know it's there and I'm starting to feel it, but not as concretely, you know, not as like oh, I see the reason why this happened. And I think for so many of us that experience loss, we may not ever know. And we can believe and trust that there is divine timing, but it doesn't mean we'll get a human explanation as to why. You know, it doesn't mean that. We may never. Or we may. We may find peace quickly or even years later. And whether that comes in the form of, you know, another baby or some message or who knows what is just so different and individual. So I felt really out there with this one. Spiritual peace, like I said, and feeling trusting in the timing and peace with my body in the process. And sometimes not having moments of just profound confusion and despair and lack of understanding. And again, this is part of my healing, sharing this with you, because I think it's really normal to go back and forth between all of these extremes as we grieve. You know, kids are so connected, I have to say. It was a really cool thing in a way to involve my kids in this loss. And each of you may choose differently. With the one a bunch of years ago, they were really young, at least the older ones, obviously, 4 years ago. So they knew. It wasn't something I hid, but I, you know, it wasn't something they were really interested in. This time, it was different. My daughters are particularly interested in the menstrual cycle, and they're older, and they knew I was sad. It wasn't something I wanted to hide or act like didn't happen, and so I openly shared with them, and they were really supportive in a very simple way, and I think that's what children can offer us at so many points when life gets hard for us. My oldest daughter just matter-of-factly said and wasn't trying to appease me with like her explanation of why this had happened, just said something like, maybe this baby had something else to do, or maybe this baby had something to do first. Thought that was pretty cool. Wasn't something I told her to say. But, you know, kids are kids. My three-year-old, who was only vaguely aware, was really sweet. We were taking a walk, just he and I, up to a temple across the street, a spiritual dwelling, somewhere we go every day, just because it's a nice walk and it's peaceful and all that. And he said in his very matter-of-fact, cute three-year-old way, well, did that baby just not want to be a baby? Something like that. It's really cute. But it really struck me and it gave me so much peace for a while. And I thought, wow, you know, that's profound. Baby just didn't want to be a baby. Went on to do something else. So when my miscarriage began this time, it was shocking to me. Again, I was feeling quite disconnected, I realized. The one previously started out slowly with some spotting. It was more questionable, as in, what's going on? You know, is this a threatened miscarriage? Is this going to be inevitable? But this last time was very much not questionable once it began. Didn't seem to me to be threatened at all. Seemed pretty inevitable. So I woke up and literally was gushing bright red blood. It wasn't a spotting incident at all. Of course, you hold out hope. I don't know anybody that doesn't. Even when they see bright red blood, which nobody wants to see when they're pregnant. And of course, doesn't always mean that there's a miscarriage going on. But somewhere in my heart, even though I say I felt disconnected, I knew that this was it, that there wasn't hope. But part of you holds on. I think that's just a natural part of the process too, to wonder, you know, is that really what's going on? Maybe it's something else. I know, you know, because I've helped many women through miscarriages. And like I just said, not every episode of bleeding and cramping turns out to be a miscarriage, that, you know, you replay those thoughts in your head too. And you think of, oh, so-and-so had bleeding and they didn't have a miscarriage, and, or so-and-so had bleeding and, you know, ended up that there must have been two babies and she miscarried one and then went on to term with the other one. So all kinds of things go through your head. And of course you hope somewhere in you that one of these bizarre situations applies to you and that everything's actually fine and you have a healthy baby in there. But I knew, and my body knew. So to get through it, what did I do? Lots of journaling, lots of time alone crying, which is hard to come by in a house with seven children. Tried all of the natural emotional remedies, really. I wasn't looking to stop what was happening. Wasn't looking to do that. I was sure that that was what needed to happen. But using homeopathics, for example, and lots of essential oils just to help balance the emotions. And then even now, more than a week after, I'm very heavy on the essential oils for hormone balance, because for me, that's actually been the hardest part. So, you know, losing a baby isn't fun, but my body has just really struggled with feeling in balance hormonally. And I think the thought of something like postpartum depression is more real to me now. I haven't experienced anything like that postpartum with any of my live births, but I can see how it can be a part of loss. And to me, it's felt in moments completely out of control in the sense of it being hormones. So not even being emotional in the sense of upset or anger, just being purely physical. My body just felt really whacked out. So it's definitely a process of labor. If you're listening to this and you help women through these sorts of things, or you're just kind of curious, even though this isn't the most popular of topics, an early loss is still a labor. And that's why personally it's hard for me to imagine that women can mistake an early loss for a heavy period, unless they're used to heavy, painful periods. I guess I can see that. But for me, it was very, very different than a period, even early, you know, even it being early is what I mean. Very much a mini labor, complete with contractions and cramping and expelling even something that's really tiny. So there's a rhythm to it, you know. It's just like labor. And the rhythm differs, I guess, or has for me, because it's a longer process in a way, or it has been for me. I'm not saying that it looks or feels that way for absolutely everybody. But this miscarriage took a couple days. And you know, it's like when people say they were in labor for a couple days, it doesn't mean that probably all of those hours they were actively laboring. It just means that was the process from start to finish. And that's how this miscarriage felt. It just began with bleeding and cramping, kind of tapered off for a day with light bleeding. And then on the third day was when I really started bleeding. And in the course of an hour, past some very, very large clots. And I don't think this is too much information for people that would actually listen this far into one of my podcasts, but because I'm who I am and what I do, you know, I actually took the clots because I was able to save them. And I'm sort of fascinated. It doesn't gross me out at all, especially my own body, but took the clots out into the sun where I could really see and kind of picked them apart until I could find the tiny, tiny little piece of tissue that I was really looking for. There's really some peace, at least in my experience, to seeing that. And then knowing your body let go appropriately and that it's over, that you can stop bleeding, that, you know, emotionally you can start to go down that road, there's a relief, just like there is in birthing a live baby. There's a relief in having it over. And so, especially with an early loss, you know, it's so easy to miss what we might pass. We might not know if we're going to pass anything. I certainly didn't. If you are really early, there really might not be anything that you can see, or it may just be hidden in clots. If there is a case of, you know, missing a period and knowing you were pregnant, but not actually having anything form, which has an awful terminology of blighted ovum, then there's nothing there physically, often in the sense of tissue. That doesn't mean that it's not a grieving process or a loss at all. In fact, I'm pretty sure that's what my early loss a bunch of years ago was, that technically nothing had formed, but it didn't matter to me. It was still a loss. It was still a miscarriage. So let me look at my notes here just because I'm kind of losing my rhythm here. So to share my insight with you about my own experience, which may or may not interest you, but just because sharing stories is helpful, I kind of compared my losses 4 years apart. And again, they were to the day, which I find a little crazy. Now, if you were to ask me if it were the same baby or anything like that, we all have our different beliefs about when the soul might come into a body. And, you know, that can be based on someone's religion or spiritual beliefs, or just can kind of change with experience, which is mostly how I see it. My first loss was very clearly a boy to me, and I had dreamt of him and his birth, and then, like I mentioned, a bunch of days later, had dreamt of miscarrying. And then this time, it was not that same soul. It was a completely different one that I had felt contact with, a girl. And I think that was part of my disconnect, in the sense that I felt so confident. I felt that I knew her, and that I was really surprised that she has chosen at this time to not come through. But I think the losses 4 years apart to the day, certainly no accident. I don't believe in accidents or coincidences anyway. Everything is in perfect timing. But if they weren't the same soul, which would maybe be the most obvious thing to think, then what is the connection? And part of me just doesn't have an answer. So maybe that'll give you solace or peace if you're working through your own loss, that again, sometimes you just don't have answers. But the more my brain started to think about it, which isn't always the way to go, but I kind of can't help it sometimes, I realized that the losses were a great teaching, and have been, and probably will continue to be. So the first one was me as a different person than I am now. And I mentioned that was when I was embroiled in a legal battle with the state of Arizona over my midwifery license. I wasn't, I don't think, as conscious. I wasn't evolved into the birth servant that I believe I am now. So my miscarriage at that time reflected my beliefs. I was fearful, at least a little bit. And I very much consulted everyone else around me. Now, it's true that I hadn't miscarried before then, so it was a new experience, but I had helped so many women through that you think I would have had more confidence than I did. But I didn't. I consulted everyone around me, several midwives. I ended up going in to get an ultrasound, which is sort of funny now because it was so painfully clear what was happening, but I needed to see it. I needed to hear from the outside that I was miscarrying and that there was no baby in there. And again, it was just completely different experience. It was everybody telling me. I had some very well-meaning midwife friends who were in the know, and they're actually not midwives I'm really friends with anymore for whatever reason. or actually for the reason that our beliefs probably just differ so much at this point. But at that point, I had these couple friends whispering in my ear about, oh, get labs, and I had gotten labs done, and it all sounds so silly now, but just being honest. Maybe it's an ectopic pregnancy based on the labs. It was all very intellectual, and I didn't spend as much time connecting and asking myself what was going on. And it could be that's why emotionally it wasn't as difficult for me to process. I just wasn't as engaged. I don't know. But anyway, compared to this time was completely different. And I guess comparing them in this way has given me confidence in myself once again, that this time there was no consulting with anyone. There was a simple knowing that this was what was going on. There was no need for me in this experience to look to the outside. You know, there was no ultrasound, there were no labs, there were no herbs, there was no nothing to facilitate or to question or to save this process. I simply was. I simply observed. I simply let my body do it. And again, I'm not saying that that's the way everyone should do it or that's the way I would do it again, but that's the way it happened this time. And it felt really comfortable as this experience could be. It felt really natural. This might sound kind of insensitive, but it was a lot like the stomach thing I had been through several days prior, in that I was completely out of control of the process. There was nothing I could do to make it better. There was nothing I could do to make it not happen that way. And there was a peace in that knowing that my body would come through the other side and do it. And that's exactly what happened. So that's the grace I've found in this early loss experience of my own. Just that my body does know. My mind may never know why this happened. I'm sure I'll continue to question that for a little while. But I have found renewed confidence in my body for just doing what it needs to do, and to do it eloquently and without much fuss, even though it's not something that anybody wants to go through. So what am I on to now? What is the best advice for someone that's been through an early loss? I think for me, support has been crucial, again, in the couple of women I've chosen to share this with, and now, of course, sharing it with many more women. But knowing that I had to choose wisely who I shared it with, because I didn't want someone's fearful response. I didn't want someone's unknowingly hurtful response. And so I guess my advice would be, if you're someone that's supporting women, or just you're a friend of someone that's had a miscarriage, it's okay to not say anything. It's okay to just say, I'm here. I'm holding space for you. I support you. I love you. And not try to fix it. And not try to say something that you feel like should be said. Because honestly, there's nothing to say. There was nothing anyone could have said to me that would have made it better. Absolutely nothing. And more times than not, especially if you pick the wrong people to tell, something will be said that's hurtful. And it won't be intentional. But I know for me, I was really sensitive. And I learned this the last time, that having so many children already that are, you know, beautiful and wonderful, that a lot of people's first reaction or response to your loss will be something like, oh, well, you have so many already, or you're so lucky. And yes, I am for sure. But no matter how many you have, doesn't make losing one easier. So I was really sensitive to that this time. And I didn't tell anyone, even really close family, because I didn't want them to say anything like that. I didn't want them to even think it. It was too hurtful for me to hear that. So support comes in all kinds of ways. If you're someone, again, that's, you know, experiencing this, It's just about having someone to listen, I think, or the kind of friends or community that, again, won't try and fix it. Maybe we'll just take your other kids for a couple hours. We'll bring you a meal. We'll offer to come, you know, I don't know, clean your house. Again, it's no different than what we would offer, I think, any woman that's birthed. Postpartum support is postpartum support. And if we saw early loss in particular as the birth process, just a really, really, really too early one, then maybe we'd have more respect and know how to treat women during this time, because it's so sensitive. And there is such a need for support. I don't think it's something that any woman wants to feel alone in. Now, as far as partners go, everybody's different too. My experience has been great in that my husband is supportive and understanding, and I think was sad, honestly, in his own way. But, you know, talking with other women, especially with early losses or just miscarriages in general, there seems to be a disconnect among most men. And of course, not everybody has a partner. But, you know, just in the length of time, perhaps, that they grieve with you. So I know for me, it felt pretty brief that my husband was in it and connected and understood. And then, you know, for the last week or two, it's felt kind of alone, in the sense that no one else is feeling it anymore. You know, there's no baby to see and there's nothing on the outside to see. And actually I'm done bleeding. Not that anyone is knowing that, but the process physically is complete. So, my encouragement to those that have had losses or those that support women in losses is that we continue to check in with each other, you know, days, weeks, months, maybe after, just to see how are you doing, you know, and often I think many women months later may be fine, completely fine and healed and not needing to talk about it. And some won't. And we just don't know what we'll do. Even ourselves, you know, I don't know for me a month down the road if it's still something that's going to make me teary or not. I don't know yet, but I will appreciate the support of the people I have around me to hopefully, you know, still check in. Or at best, maybe it's me reaching out to them, as hard as that can be, and saying, you know, I'm still really having a hard time. I don't know. So much of it is uncharted territory, even when we've been through it before. And that's just like birth, right? It's so strange in a way. It's so beautiful. And I've tried to see that beauty. And actually, I haven't had to try as hard as I've thought. And perhaps the more pain we feel, the more beauty we're able to feel. I think in times of loss and birth, death and, you know, death and birth, they're so related. They're so fresh. They're so, to me, I always say in technicolor, and I mean it. Like when I experience the birth of a live baby, the world looks brighter to me. Sounds are louder. You know, it might sound crazy, but I think it's because we're put in the moment. Life and death put us in the moment. And a loss, an early pregnancy loss, has been like that for me. And of course, you know, the feelings are different. It's not that elation that comes with seeing a live birth. But for me, there has been beauty in the process. Honestly, there has been beauty in seeing this tiny, 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 tiny little piece of tissue that my body did produce perfectly, at least until a certain point. And knowing that that all happened and that that has happened in the past and I have children to show for it and that, you know, I'm here as a result of that and you're here as a result of this miracle our bodies can perform. So these moments of clarity do come through. They have for me, and they're not all like that. So I'm not professing that by any stretch, but I'm grateful for them because they make the moments of pain or anger or sadness, I think, more profound as well, to have these moments of clarity and just kind of ordinariness along with life is beautiful. And it is. So for now, I'm just feeling kind of quiet and subdued about it. You can probably hear through this podcast that I'm still feeling it, but I'm not breaking down about it, at least right now. I'm having, you know, longer stretches, days, which is great, where I'm not feeling sad. You know, I'm not crying and breaking down or screaming in anger at anybody, which I've done both. I'm finding more balance. And again, you know, from a purely physical perspective, which of course is not all we're talking about, the hormone balance has just been crucial for me. I don't know that everyone feels it this way. I doubt they do since we're all so different. But for me, just balancing out the hormones has been crucial as my body kind of comes out of it and moves forward in the menstrual cycle. I've just really felt that to be helpful. So I guess that, you know, advice, if there is any, is just so much of it our body does take care of. And that when you're feeling really, really low and down and like you can't come emotionally out of this hole, that there is help. But that a good percentage of it, you know, if it is hormonal, will be something your body is able to pull itself out of. And again, not without good support, but that just gives me peace. You know, it's another example of our bodies really working perfectly, even in a process that we don't wish to experience. So I'm going to end this with the recommendation to listen to a really amazing piece of music, only because as a former musician myself, music is one of the things that highlight my life, perhaps yours. That music gives me meaning, and often just the feeling of a piece of music expresses more than I could ever express in words. And so I found great peace in music through my births, my live births, and through these losses, honestly. And, you know, it's funny, this piece of music that I wanted to share with you, or that you can actually just go listen to, was, for lack of a better term, like the theme song of what I thought this pregnancy would be for myself. Again, I felt like I was really knowing this soul, and the song that just kind of picked itself, I thought would be what brought this baby earthside. Healthfully, you know, 9 months from now. And I didn't know, and I don't think we ever know for sure how things will be. But I didn't realize, of course, that that wouldn't happen, you know, and that this song I had chosen, or the song that had chosen itself, actually worked out to be the perfect song for this experience. So the song is called Wash Away, and the artist is Nako and Medicine for the People, which is probably my favorite group presently. And so you can go to YouTube and listen to it. I'm certainly not going to sing it for you, but I was just going to read some of the lyrics. And again, thanks for supporting me and being here even virtually, because this is part of my healing. So these are the lyrics. And again, for me, they just felt and do feel so meaningful. With this loss of this pregnancy. We are part of something special. We are part of something special. It's a crack in time, a wrinkle. Fallen from the nest, young eagle. I will pull my feathers out. Stay humble. So grieve me, the black prince cicada. Such a loud voice for a tiny creature. Teach me to let go of all of my pain. I do forgive. I don't forget these things. We burn the blue gum for a safe passageway. Drink of the earth, smoke of the dirt. Holy, holy grandmother, we sing. Wash us clean of our pain and suffering. Give us strength for our new beginnings. From my deepest grace, I sing. Wash away. It will wash away. Lift them up. Wash away. It will wash away. Remember when things changed. Remember when things changed. Holy, holy grandmother, we sing, wash us clean of our pain and suffering. Give us strength for our new beginnings. For my deepest grace, I sing, wash away, it will wash away. To this old song, so familiar to memory, the road will teach you how to love and let go. It can be lonely, but it's the only thing that we've ever known. It can be lonely, but it's the only thing that we've ever known. So go listen to that song if that touches you. Perhaps it does and will be meaningful to you as well. And if not, that's okay. We all find our own meaning, our own ways of experiencing our losses, our triumphs. And thanks again for listening and supporting me in this. You may not know it, but it means a lot to be able to share this way. And my hope, of course, is not just to process my own healing, although I'll admit and have admitted that this has been helpful to me personally, but I hope that it opens the door of communication for us, for women, to talk about these spirit babies at any gestation, you know, at any point in pregnancy, maybe even before we know we're pregnant, that they leave us. So on that note, thank you. And I appreciate your listening once again. And look forward to more continued sharings, both with so many of you personally and here through these podcasts, on the things that tie us together, pregnancy and birth. Thanks so much. Have a great day.